This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Pridecast with Jonathan Bennett
and James Vaughn
on iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pridecast, one of the most special, my favorite episode ever, because we are joined with one of my favorite people on earth, other than my handsome husband who's sitting next to me. Hi, James.
Hi, baby.
We have James. Tell him who we have on the show today, because
I'm so proud of you, though. You've learned. All right. So my baby, and hello, guest. You will know this as well about my baby. He likes to speak in absolutes, like the best, my favorite.
Yeah, obviously.
The number one, the only.
Yeah.
Look what he did. Both times he said one of. One. Are you getting so good, baby? One of
my favorites.
Yeah, so
one
people don't feel excluded.
Humans.
So people don't feel like, ow, that was a dig at me. They feel like, oh, one of. Good job, baby.
Yes, thank you so much. But speaking of, James, tell him who is joining the show today.
One of our favorites. And I would say he's the top of your favorites. And that's okay to say. Do I get to say who it is?
Yes.
Do I get to
reveal? Reveal who's on the episode.
Oh, well, I don't even know which name to use, because there's two now.
Wait, say the first one.
Say
it.
Well, oh man, but it's heartbreaking to say, because we're only getting to talk to you because it means you're not on the show anymore. It's Donna Bellissima, a.k.a. Danny Francesi.
Mean Girl star Danny Francesi in the House of Coco. Welcome to the show.
What's up?
Welcome.
Oh my God, it's good to be here. Now you're going to make the distinction. Everything's your favorite, so you get to me, and it's just one of.
Like
now,
now's
when we draw the line. Now's when we draw the line.
Number one since day one, baby. I mean, to have you on the show, this has been an episode that James and I have been so excited to film. We've been waiting for the right moment. We're like, when are we going to have Danny on? We're like, is it October 3rd? We're like, there's got to be something special for it. And then...
How'd you know I would say yes?
Oh,
I'm kidding. Relax.
Well, then what happened?
Because I did your podcast, bitch. So
true.
Now you got to do mine.
True.
What happened was, so like, obviously we're Drag Race super fans in this house, and so we start watching Secret Celebrity Drag Race. And first of all, Danny, how shady of you to tell no one, to tell absolutely no one what's going on. But the first episode starts, and Donna starts speaking, and I'm like, I know this voice. I'm like, baby, whose voice is this? And we both look at each other, and we're like,
I'm like, that's Danny.
He
you were definitely
on
one of the
this
people. Like,
show.
You guys, I was like, I just am not telling them. I'm like, they're going to lose their shit. I was like, I'm definitely not going to say nothing.
Like, we're the people you don't tell, because I would like turn into glitter, just like, boom, and like glitter would just tumble down in the air. I mean,
but we knew.
As soon as we heard that voice.
We didn't know she was going to be so beautiful.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know.
So you're on. So let's walk everyone back, because we get to talk about this now, because it's been a secret of who it was, you know, what was happening on Secret Celebrity Drag Race. And now you can speak about it and tell everyone about the journey. So let's just start at the beginning. I mean, you are a Drag Race fan we got to be on RuPaul's Drag Race as guest judges together.
I went to the premiere party before it premiered on TV. Like I've been with Drag Race since like day one.
Vaseline filter season.
Yes, actually, I was a curator at the World of Wonder Gallery, and they had the premiere party at the gallery. That's how I even knew the show was coming out. I'm like, oh, RuPaul has some show about drag queens coming out, and little did I know that I would like have the HDMI cable like intravenously plugged into my body, and I can't live without it.
It's an obsession. I totally understand you because we are so obsessed with it. Like we talk about it like it's football every single day. Like every single day we have conversations about something about Drag Race. Every season, every country, we want all of it.
The same. And honestly, like I like the way people treat sports. Like I watch all the B-side stuff. I just like listening to it in the background, like all the fan things, all the YouTube, all the podcasts. I've just always been that way.
Well, Danny, Drag Race is our sports. Drag Race is gay sports.
Yeah, it's gorts.
Gorts.
It's we gorgeous. Love our gorts. Now, you and I got to be guest judges on season 13?
12.
Yet another iconic moment we've shared together.
Yes, and yet another iconic moment we've shared. We got to be guest judges during not only Snatch Game, but we got to be it during, which was my favorite, during the lip sync to a Frozen Broadway soundtrack, which was enough for me to die. And I remember you and I being backstage, just being such geeks and just being so excited to be there and like getting to walk out. And you had this great runway where you revealed the same outfit.
Yeah. I did have the first judge's reveal in Herstory.
You had, see, making first. And now here you are on the first ever season of Secret Celebrity Drag Race. So you're
super
fan.
Well, it's technically season two, but season one was a complete different format. This is the first
totally understand.
Race to the crown, yeah.
Now, so you get, walk us through it. So you get the phone call. Where are you when you get the phone call? What does that feel like?
So for like a year before this happened, I kind of took a year off of working. You know, the year before that was taken off for me for COVID, you know, like for me. So it's, you know, it was like a long time since I had done something because all my touring dates were canceled because of COVID. And then my mom had double hip surgery, well, back to back hip replacements. So I was living with her and taking care of her and getting her better, you know, and in doing so, we were watching Drag Race the whole time. I was catching her up on a lot of the seasons. And, you know, so ironic that this would happen. And then we were watching the Camila Cabello Cinderella, right? And right as she's about to get the dress, we pause it and I get a phone call and it's like, how would you like to be on Drag Race? And I was like, oh yeah, they want me to judge again? That's so cool. And they're like, no, be on it. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, Celebrity Drag Race. And I'm like, oh. And I think back to those one-off episode things and I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. And they're like, here. And when they read me what it was and they said a whole season to the crown, I almost died. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, you know, and then $100,000 for your charity. Like, it just was so cool. And so I hung up the phone like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, I, you know, literally won the lottery and the gay lottery. And, and my mom was like, well, we have no time to waste. And she's putting music on. She's like, and 5, 6, 7, 8, and move. And then she's like trying to pull dresses out of her closet. I'm like, what's going on? Like,
did she have heels she tried to put you in?
Well, see, this is a big topic of conversation here. This is like my Dr. Phil moment with y'all because like.
We have the same struggle with feet. Yes.
So I am a size 15 wide male shoe, which equals out because you know how lady shoes get pointy in the front,
correct,
to like an 18 wide female shoe. Okay. So I could only, and like everything I tried to buy online, because immediately I was like, I've never put a heel on my foot ever for any reason. So I was like, I have to just get one on my foot, you know? And honestly, like I'm really close friends, you know, you sign an NDA and all of that, but you have you have a friend DA. You know, like when you get on one of these shows, there's a few people that you can kind of call. And I live about in Florida. I live about 5 minutes away from Latrice Royale and her husband, Christopher.
Wow.
So I'm like, if there's a foot in this town,
you're and you were watching Cinderella having the Cinderella moment.
I know.
You're like, well, where's my shoe?
I didn't really know what the show was or what I was going to have to do, if I was going to have to sew or what. They didn't explain the show, because the first season they had to do different things. You know, they had different kinds of, so, you know, and I was just like so nervous, and I didn't even try a shoe on at Latrice's because she had all brand new stuff. And I was like, I can't even mess with one of your things. Like, I've got to just get my own. Like, I was more like getting tips of where to buy stuff. Finally, a shoe arrived in the mail and it fit on my foot, but man, I was like a Bambi brand new deer being born. Like, I could not. I was like the 4 a.m. girls that you see on the on the boulevard
in Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just like like tripping over each other. Like, I couldn't do it. My mom and sister actually were like, he's not going to last more than an episode or two. Like, it's pretty rough. Well, because the shoe didn't really fit. I can't explain it.
What kind of heel was it? A kitten heel or like a full on?
No, it was like, I say it was like a 3-inch heel. Right.
Oh, okay.
But no. The problem with it was that the heel itself was not strong enough to hold me up. Like, I knew that, like, if I was dancing, it was a little stiletto. If I was dancing or something, this was not going to last.
Right.
You know, and I really didn't want to hurt myself. So I was like, well, production will have it. It's Hollywood. No.
No.
No. The entire show, and this is like a secret of this show, like, the entire show basically only had 16s that they would heat gun to be wide enough for me.
No,
and there was no shoe my size the whole season. They just didn't have it. They were like, it have to be custom made, and we don't have time. And I don't think anyone expected me to last that long. But you know, Donna Bellissimo's fierce.
She's fierce.
Wow, and she did it all in a shoe that was too small for her. That's impressive.
Yeah,
and extra credit there.
It felt kind of like a setup, because I was like, after a while, I mean, you know this, Jonathan. You've done some rigorous reality. This is my first like tiptoe into that kind of an environment.
Mm-hmm.
And your first day of the week, you know, you pick your music.
Yeah.
It's like you have like 5 song choices, and then like one has to, you know, have to see what clears. So even if you're thinking of like what the challenge is going to be, you've got 5 songs that you're learning, because it could be, you don't know what's going to clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, when it clears and you get like the song that you get to do, then you got to work on a new version of that, because it's edited brand new, you know. Mm-hmm. So you were kind of learning the real version, but now all of a sudden you're presented with a new version, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they give you the new version, and they give you the lip sync for your life song, which you may or may not have to lip sync if you're in the bottom at the same time.
Jesus.
Okay. And the next day you go into work at 6 a.m.
Yep.
And then they're like, you know, you got COVID, you got some talking head stuff, whatever you do. And then they're like, okay, so what are we doing? And you're like, I think I would move over here, and maybe I could do something like this. And then, you know, the Jamal Sims, who's a fantastic choreographer, and Raina, his assistant, was like, here's, you know, maybe we could do some of this, maybe we could do some of that. So you kind of choreograph it together with Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run it 3 times. Then they bring the dancer in. You run it another time. And then they record it, and they let you go home. And it's like noon. And you're like, okay, what am I going to do with this time? I'm going to work on this number. Like, I got to get this like going, you know?
Right.
And so you're working on the number all day or whatever. And the very next day, you're in dress rehearsal and makeup, and you get to do the number 3 times on the main stage. Like, to test it out and try it out. And then the very next day, you're in 4 hours of makeup, and you're in front of a live audience.
No.
And if you lip sync for your life or not, the very next morning, you're starting again. There's no break. We only had Sundays off, and it was back-to-back weeks. So the thing that I did not take into consideration at all was the sleep deprivation.
Yep.
Yep.
Because it's like literally a race. Like, I wasn't eating right. I wasn't sleeping right. I was in so much pain. My body wasn't recovering from the things I was making it do the day before. And I had so much to learn every day. And it was just like really hard. Like, the one thing I could say is the show doesn't show how hard it was.
Yeah, I wish they'd showed all this because that's so interesting to me. I thought y'all had way more time to rehearse.
No, it's like so and honestly, no days off. I think
tough.
You know, we ran. I think I was in it for a month and a half, and like, I think I had like 2 days off that whole time. you know, and like those two or whatever. I don't know what it was like, or no, one Sunday each Sunday. So like 4 days off. But those Sundays were like recovery days, like full body massages and like, you know, trying to just like get your body back to normal, you know, and try to sleep as much as you can.
And it's part of the game, right? Like that's they because when
they want you loopy.
Yeah, they want you loopy. They want you to like not feel normal because that adds to the whole drama of the entire season. I mean, I remember Dancing with the Stars. You have 0 days off. They don't even give you a day off. So like, I totally understand you where it's like you get into week four and you're like, oh my gosh, we're still doing this. And then you start to feel like, I don't know how it was for you, but like when I was on Dancing with the Stars and when I was in Big Brother, you feel like this world is the only world that exists as you start going down the rabbit hole where like I'm sitting there crying in a confessional and I'm like, am I crying in a confessional on Big Brother? Like what? Like I'm the person
Drag
I'm
is pouring my heart out in like,
yes. And I'm like crying about it. I'm like, I'm who I make fun of on the show. And nope, here I am bawling my eyes out because you're just your senses and your emotions are so screwed up because of the sleep deprivation, because of like what's on the task at hand.
Also,
yeah.
Also, the first 2 weeks, I couldn't even remember my critiques because all I'm like standing there out of body, like completely exhausted from performing and out of breath. You know, I'm not a Glee person. I'm not a pop star. I'm not, you know, like, I mean, everybody there has incredible dance training. You know what I mean? I mean, like my dance training is limited. I mean, like I'm an actor who moves well. But I am not by no means, you know, and then all of a sudden they hand you a mic and you're out of breath and it's like, the lights are like on you. There's a full ass audience and you're looking at Mama Ru dead in the eyes and she's judging you in an art form that she has helped pioneer to the world. And you're just like, this is crazy. This is a fever dream.
It is. It's that moment you feel because I'm so happy you got to experience that moment because you got to experience it so many episodes, which is wonderful. Same thing happened on Dancing with the Stars, which I totally relate to, is the moment when you're done performing and it's time for the critiques. It's this out of body experience that no one will ever understand unless you are standing in those shoes or in those heels where you just don't feel like a real human. You're like a space alien that's just like inhabiting this body and you're looking around and it's like the lights and it's like in the slow-mo in the movies when they're like the crowds are cheering, but you like hear it in slow motion and you're like, what is going on? I totally understand that. And
it's that when underwater at the end of Carrie,
yes!
She gets the what, like,
yes,
they're all going to laugh at you. And you're just like standing there and they're all going to laugh at you. And you're like, I mean, really, like I would have to go backstage and write down things so I could remember the critiques I would ask Monet, because she was like my mom. I was like, can you just remember what they say to me and then tell me what they said? Because I'm literally like blanking out there, you know, it was literally terrifying. And also you're in like pipe and drape backstage. In like a little tent that's just for you, and you don't get to see anyone else's performance that's before you. I can't like so Poppy Love, who was going first all the time and winning, I had no idea what she was doing.
Are you kidding?
So I was like, I don't even know what I'm up against. You don't get to see like what your other contestants look like. You might catch glimpses like walking down a hallway or something, you know, if they couldn't keep you from each other. But even when you're rehearsing with the dancers, part of it, you have to rehearse with AirPods because they don't want anyone else to hear your song in the next room who's getting a fitting or whatever.
Wait, so the only times you're really interacting with each other is when you're on stage at the end for who's safe and who's lip syncing? Is that?
Well, had a whole untucked backstage thing that they didn't air. Like once you perform, you see it sometimes. They show clips of behind the stage or whatever. But, you know, I think when they went into this, they didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like they were like, we don't really know, you know, and they made some they gave us some sort of like red herrings, or they were thinking we might do a sewing challenge, you know, and we did have like sort of like a sewing segment. But it was, you know, when you're there, you're like, am I going to have to make a dress? You know,
right.
When Ru said the twist, when Ru was like, reveal the twist, I thought it was going to be like, now do it by yourself. Now do your own makeup. Now do your own outfit. Now, like, you know what I mean?
That would have been good.
I could have did it. I could have done it. Maybe I wouldn't have been as pretty because honestly, Mayhem beat my face like every like beautiful.
Mayhem did your makeup. Mayhem. Makes so much sense now because Donna is so beautiful.
I'm not going to take.
She came out.
I'm not going to take anything away from Monet. But I was like, I'm a Miller mama. Like, I was like really into Monet. Like, she was just there for me when I needed her. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm a Miller mama.
I didn't even realize Mayhem was there. That makes so much sense because, oh my gosh, talk about a pretty girl that can beat a face.
That's got to be on a t-shirt. I'm a Miller mama. Yeah. It's such a good line. You like, can sell it when you go to DragCon.
Yeah. You know, Mayhem definitely knows how I feel about her because there were some moments that I just needed a second, like, you know. Like literally like out, I'm a big ass man who doesn't do choreography on the regular. So I'm just like, and I'm, you know, and I'm about to be judged and I'm just like, and I'm getting like acid reflux. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, thank God for Mayhem. Like she would be like, I just have to fix something and be like, take a breath, like get yourself together, you know, kind of like, just give me like a moment of peace. She couldn't speak, but she would just like, look at me and you know, whatever. In the one when I did, the chick song Sin Wagon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you go back and rewatch it, like you, they don't really show it or you can't really tell, but I did rewatch it and you can see when I, in the, right in the beginning, I slap on the bar and I was so into it. Every nail breaks and flies off my fingers. Like in that moment, like if you watch it up close, it's just like nails flying. So I was very nervous that it was going to ruin my number and I'm trying to hide my fingers the whole number. So in between takes, immediately Mayhem came there and had a whole full set of new nails and put them on.
Get out.
You know, it was really just like watching those little details where, and I had them like hanging off my fingers. I was like shaking, you know, it meant a lot to me. And I know when we play games, like even when you play a card game or something, or you play like, you know, Smash Bros, or you're just playing something where you're like, I'm going to use this player against this player for whatever reason. I kind of felt like that's maybe what happened when I was in the bottom. I'm not like a delusional queen. I'm sure that I made the bottom of that episode because everybody else was so good. And I was getting like, critiques for props that I didn't even pick. Like, you know what I mean? Like they were just showing up on set. I told Rue at one point, it didn't make the edit, but I said that that being on the show was like being on an evil episode of Goosebumps where you text something and it just comes to life. Like, you know, I was like, I just want a makeup mirror with like a powder puff and a chair or something. And then it would be like a powder puff, a chair, a makeup. Like I was I meant like that. Like, I didn't mean like I needed everything up. And then there's like a flower vase on there and, you know, and all this stuff that I didn't ask for that I didn't get to even see until I was on stage with it on the go time.
Oh my gosh.
And I started thinking about Cher. I was like, who else probably has done a rehearsal in sweatpants with other people in sweatpants and then had to come out and do it in the audience in the outfit and then never even saw my backup dancers' outfits, like, because they were
they didn't wear much. So
and thank God for that.
Do you have any toilet paper around, because it's pretty much that so wrapped around their crotch.
Hot. They were so hot.
It's a little bit of a distraction. It's like, do I watch the queens or do I watch the boys? What's going on stage right
and
now?
They were all so nice and all so hot. And honestly, like being like a drag queen around those boys, it's like so different than being Danny Francesi around those boys. Like being Donna Bellissima, they were all like so flirty with me and so cute. And I was like, this is like, I like being Donna. Like,
we love Donna and we want you to be Donna all the time because we love her.
Can Donna please come over one day and hang out?
Yeah, well, Donna, please.
Honestly, maybe Donna will end up on Outbound.
Oh,
you never know.
Wait, Donna performing on Outbound would be everything. Because now you get a 2-for-1. You get the comedy stylings of Danny Francesi, and then you get the drag performance of Donna Bellissima.
Maybe he does comedy in drag.
It's kind of like if you want Superman to be there, Clark Kent has to show up. So it might have to also be on this shit.
We got to get bigger. We have to get boats with taller ceilings because Danny's 6'5 already in heels. And a wig. We need like 8-foot tall ceilings for him to walk around this lounge.
Because that happened when we did our Berlin Pride to Amsterdam Pride cruise. The ceilings were 7-foot tall. And we booked a queen from Germany that in heels and hair was like 7.5 feet tall.
So we had to move the party upstairs to the upper deck because Nikita
oh my God,
couldn't
that
walk
makes
around.
Me want to do a Betty Boop look, but with like a real flat head on the wig.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I'm just making the clearance.
We love a resourceful queen.
Oh my gosh. Danny, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to chat more about everything that is Pride and how fabulous and gay my good friend Danny Francesi is. We'll be right back.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Okay, we're chatting with Danny Francesi from
Donna Bellissima
from Mean Girls, from RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
From your comedy tour that I feel like has been going on for 16 years.
From a comedy tour near you. From a comedy tour near you.
Comedy tour. I just don't change the title. I change the jokes a little. But like, I've been touring for like 6 years.
You have. I love it.
But honey, booked and blessed. I remember when you started doing that tour and you were telling me how wonderful it was and how exciting it was. And what I love so much about you is that your interaction with the fans, when they either go on this tour and they're meeting you after the show, or they're meeting you at any of the cons, the drag cons, the fans absolutely adore you and love you and want you. They can't get enough of you. And to watch you interact with them is super special. Tell me about some of your favorite moments you've had, because I know you shared some of them with me, like, hey, I've had these kids come up and say this to me, or how I inspired this, or some crazy fan Mean Girls moments. What has that been like?
You know, I absolutely love meeting fans. I really do. I was a fan girl myself growing up. Like, I collected autographs. I had autographs from like Bea Arthur and Bette Midler and Oprah and Ed Asner and all these like weird people from Nick at Night and stuff. Like, I would just write everyone and get, so I understand that energy. But it's different with Damien, as you know. Like, you know, since Damien wasn't out in the movie, and it was kind of like low key in Mean Girls that Damien was gay. I mean, even though it's obvious to anyone who's watching the film, if it's just optics, it's not. He doesn't kiss a guy at prom. Because of that, it was what I've been finding out now as we're nearing to the 20th anniversary is that Damien made it in a lot of foreign territories where gay stuff gets cut out. So you hear like, you know, like there's a lesbian couple pushing a stroller and finding Dory, and then the world's upset. You know what I mean? Like, and they want to like cut these scenes out of like Lightyear and all these other things. Well, Damien was like a fully realized character that got to stay. He got to be in the girl's bathroom. He got and he never said he was gay. So, you know, I recently had Yasada Cobb, who's one of the most amazing, like, young gay music video directors right now, has directed so many things and just won a Queer Tee for directing Trixie Mattel's new video, told me that when he was growing up in Dubai, it was the only gay character or thing ever that he ever saw that wasn't considered an abomination and was celebrated. I mean, that's huge.
Talk about the reach of that.
And some places in Asia and some places in Africa where, like, literally gay stuff is just like, it's punishable by death. And this was a gay character, teen or not, big or not, or whatever. You know, And that's just so incredible to me. And it's done a lot of stuff stateside too, where, you know, I had a girl from Texas tell me that like her gay best friend wasn't allowed in the house. And then the mom fell in love with Mean Girls and now invites them over, lets them sleep over, lets them come over for dinner.
Wow.
And you're kind of like, you're literally opening doors for people. It really speaks to me. So I know how, like, you know, I have a family member that has a lot of trauma who I love to reach through nostalgia. Like whenever we interact mm-hmm. through nostalgia, it's a comfortable place for them because, you know, when someone has a traumatic background, nostalgic things can't be changed. It's already capsulized. It was great. They loved it. It didn't hurt mm-hmm. them and it's done. So if you go look back sometimes, I think it brings a lot of people a lot of joy. And Mean Girls happens to be a nostalgic film for a lot of people. You know, I've had sisters who wrote me letters and say like, oh, I had nothing in common with my brother but this movie, or, you know, people who saw it with their friends or who remember it from high school or who dressed up like it at Halloween or whatever it is, it reminds them of a good time. So we're lucky that because we're attached to this project that brings people joy. And I really think that that's like the essence of like what I want to be, is like a purveyor of joy, and going to meet these fans and having them experience joy and me watching that, it's like so much fun. Like it's like they're getting a puppy or something when they get to meet me, and I'm like, I'm doing that. Like it's just amazing to feel the impact of art in the world that you have a part of. And so I absolutely love that. I'm going to be at Comic-Con New York. You know, and I love doing all the meet and greets. I do a lot of colleges for less than my rate, because I try to, you know, I say like, there's these students who need the break, you know, and like need mm-hmm. to like see something. And, you know, a lot of times when colleges hire me, it's an event that's free to the students. So I love to be able there to, you know, be there and be like a break in their like testing, whatever, and go in there and just tell some jokes and, you know, make them laugh and meet them and look them in the eye and tell them that, you know, they could achieve their goals and dreams. I just remember how much guests and stuff like that matter to me. So really I'm placating a younger version of myself when I'm doing that. And I think that, you know, whoever you thought you were when you were a kid, that's like who you are, you know, and who you have to try to like, you know, find again. And it's a fun way to do it.
Well, as somebody that was not part of the Mean Girls phenomenon, but feels like they know you both pretty, I don't know, one better than the other, obviously. Mm-hmm. No, it's a pretty cool thing that y'all got to be a part of, because so few people get to be a part of something like that, that really did touch almost everybody of a certain generation's life, and then like the generation after that too. And it is a really cool thing, because you talk about like the puppy dog that brings excitement and joy to somebody's life. It's the same thing with Jonathan, when like someone gets to come up to him and like, you know, they want to like do a scene with you for their Instagram, or
you go Glenn Coco.
They want to say one of your catchphrases, your lines, and they get so excited and so giddy, and it really does make their whole day. It's a really cool thing that you guys get to do. So, I'm glad you're both aware of it.
I try to take a page out of like Steve Martin's book, or you know, Bill Murray. Like I've heard that some of them have, like Steve Martin has like a little card that says you met Steve Martin, and if you don't show them this card, like they won't believe you, and then he signs them and he keeps them on him. You know?
Oh my god, and, like, that's so funny.
And Bill Murray's done stuff like that too, where he's just like, you know, photobomb people, or, you know, and I really find that to be like, that brings me a lot of joy. So mm-hmm. I always have like a Damien sticker on me, or a magnet, or something dumb like that. Like I get them made all the time and keep them on me. And when people freak out, I'd love to give them something like that. And it makes them freak out even more. And it's like, it's just so fun and funny to do and to like be a part of, you know,
it's so special.
Make people feel good.
Speaking of meeting people and making them feel good. All right. So I know you go to DragCon every year. So now my question is, this year when you go to DragCon, who goes to DragCon, Danny or Donna?
So I'm going to DragCon UK in January. And
I'm so excited.
And I've been deciding about how to do this. I'm doing my play right now, Italian Mom Loves You. We just got picked up for an encore presentation of 3 more weeks for Italian Heritage Month in Waterbury, Connecticut at the Seven Angels Theater. Thank you. Go to sevenangelstheater.org. But I was thinking like maybe I should do like one day Italian Mom, one day Danny, and one day Donna, you know? Yes. Or I was thinking maybe I'll do like 2 days Danny, and then maybe like do a panel, you know, and where maybe Mayhem makes me up in front of everyone. And then I could do like a photo op as Donna after that, because I'll already be, you know, and that's maybe a way to do it. I haven't really discussed it with World of Wonder yet, but I have plans for Donna. I think Donna is an on-screen gal. I don't think I'm going to be like hucking and bucking at like, you know, at like, you know, at Glitters in Phoenix, Arizona or something.
Wichita. Listen,
I'd bust my fives out for you, okay?
Muskogee, look, Illinois.
I know, yeah. I honestly, I'm already doing that with stand-up. I always say, like, stand-up, drag, and stripping, we're all the same. We all work for, like, chicken wings, and, like, we all showtime's at 1 a.m. But, like, so I already live that life. I live that dang life, so I don't know about that.
Right.
But I can see myself maybe doing a cabaret at P-Town, or maybe being a judge on something like Queen of the Universe if they needed a guest judge or something.
I think you'd be a perfect judge for Queen of the Universe, and I support that. Mm-hmm.
I think if they had like a guest on next season Celebrity Drag Race, I'd love to come back as Donna, or yes, like, or actually, I'm gonna campaign, and maybe your fans could help.
We'll help. Fans, mm-hmm, listen up.
But
podcast,
I would like,
fans, listen up. Here
listen
we go.
Listen up, podcast fans, because I would like to campaign that Donna Bellissima and Mayhem Miller are maybe the hosts of Fashion Photo Review for next year's Celebrity Drag Race. Gosh. So since we don't have one already, maybe that could be the thing.
Wait, I think that's a thing. We make that a thing. Absolutely.
Because if the heels are short enough and the paycheck's high enough, Donna will show up to work.
I mean, we're going to pay her. We're going to get her on Outbound. I mean, come on, let's go. But I love that idea. And I think you're doing it smart. I agree with you that Donna doesn't just show up anywhere. Like, she shows up at the right places at the right time. So it's a special occasion. It's not just Tuesday in Wichita.
I could see me doing some like stories and a piano kind of moment. Yep. I could see that happening. Also, I thought that I had a roast happening, so I wrote a lot of roast jokes.
Can you give us some of those roast jokes right now? Just a couple. Like, if we were to roast anyone. If we were to roast anyone, come on.
I'm going to say no, only because everyone was so kind, and we all were like really close sisters. And I'm afraid to piss anybody off.
Sisters do as sisters do.
I'm just afraid to piss anybody off because they're all so lovely and kind. I was the cutthroat one, I will say. I was the one that was like, give me that friggin' crown. Like, everyone else was like, this is so nice. We're so lucky to be here. And I was like, bitch, my feet hurt. And I see something shiny and I want it. Like, you know, I really did have the eye of the tiger.
You're like, and I want my pink crown back. Like,
yeah. Just like, I also don't want to mess anything up for a Celebrity All-Stars potential in the future.
Honey.
It still has a 100%.
Booked and blessed. Thank you so much, Mama Roo. Whatever you like.
Whatever you say. A bitch.
Where would you
like
me to stand?
I got a little sweet tooth for that crown. I got to get it.
And now, walking away from this experience, let's just wrap up this whole experience. Obviously, you'll learn things about yourself. For James, I know, for The Amazing Race, for me, for Big Brother, we had very different experiences where now we can't even watch the show because it was a different experience for us, where we're kind of just the... Yeah, how's the new season?
Once you live
good
it,
luck.
It's hard to watch someone else live it.
Yeah, we're like, never, good luck, guys. That isn't for you, that you're still excited about Drag and want to keep watching.
I just don't think I'll ever lose like that little like twinkle in my eye of like the 12-year-old that wonders what's going on in Hollywood. I'm kind of the person that when I'm on a dark ride at Disney, I'm like, I'm really on this adventure I'll suspend disbelief for 2 minutes and like and be in Ariel's Cove. Like, I let myself kind of go there because it's actually like such a therapeutic release for me. So I don't think I'll ever, if anything, I have way more respect for these queens because I can't imagine doing this sequestered. I can't imagine doing this without my cell phone. I can't imagine doing this with my own money and trying to come up with these outfits and on these categories and knowing how the show shifts and changes, how we were going to do this and then we ended up doing that and then it's that, and it's so malleable and it's like, you really feel like you're walking on a drawbridge where like planks are falling out and it's shaking, you know, the whole time. I never felt ground footed during this.
Well, because your shoes were too small.
Yeah, that's definitely the reason. Pop the corn and feed the children.
Oh, honey.
Honestly, I was like, everyone else backstage was like, who do you think's in the top? And I'm there with like a Theragun on my like Barbie feet, like.
Dang, I'm just impressed all the moves you did in them shoes because I cannot walk in heels and my heart was broken when I found out I couldn't walk in heels. So kudos to you for doing all that in heels.
I tell you, there was a point where on the last episode, because we open up with that group number like from Vegas and then I do my number and then I had a lip sync again that I was like, should I just faint? Like I was like, maybe I should just pass out.
Yes.
Because from the knees down, I just couldn't feel my body anymore. And my feet were just in so much pain that I just was like, I think I need to die now. And then everyone thinks I got such a big break during Sin Wagon wearing cowboy boots, but God, they hurt even more. Like they were like worse to dance in. I was like, this is like not, I'm not getting an apprieve here. Like, you know, it was just real bad for me on the feet area, I gotta say.
I'll vouch for you. I did a country show in Vegas. My first show in Vegas was a country show and it was all in boots and them boots hurt. And I was not in drag boots. I was just in boy boots and I was in pain. So I can't imagine again, like how you pulled it off. Very impressive. Kudos. No wonder you won that week. Because
there was literally parts of my body that I just was like, I don't know if I could make it anymore. Like if the show was we were nine episodes, but if it was like 18 episodes, like an actual season, I know I wouldn't have made it the whole way. Just physically, I was going crazy, like not sleeping, because even after rehearsing the numbers, because I had two numbers even that last episode, and like then I'm going to sleep listening to the lip sync number, because when do you have time to rehearse that too?
That's the way to do it. Yep.
Let you know,
you in your sleep.
And
you made it so far and did so well, and you should be very proud of yourself. What? Because we are all very, 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 very proud of you.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you who you're rooting for now that you're out of the show, and I'm expecting an answer.
And you can't say everyone. All of them.
We'll be right back.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome back. Okay, we're with Danny talking about his who he's rooting for in the finalists for Secret Celebrity Drag Race. So, Danny, you were there, you met everybody, you were in the moment, you understand the experience. If you could place the crown on someone's head, who would it be?
Honestly, I think since the beginning, she's been fire hot and really just like giving it 100%. And I have to really go with Poppy Love. I have to say, like, I think that Chakra 7 has done such really interesting and amazing things. Some of them have made me scratch my head, but some of them have been beautiful. And I've really felt like they're a deserving person of any kind of accolade as a human being. But Poppy Love, man, for a straight man, you know, for AJ McLean to really just like throw himself into this and really care and be a generous co-star and somebody who is like kind and, you know, and easy to get along with. And just, you know, this is something that I felt very connected to since it's part of queer culture. You know, I've been a fan of drag since way before Drag Race, and, you know, had drag queen Heroes and Friends, but way before Drag Race. And then to see somebody who steps into this and really gives it their whole heart and, you know, is not
Would
only
you say
like
larger than life,
not only, but not only like playing for a trans lifeline also, you know,
yeah, amazing. Yeah.
And then also in addition to that, like before Drag Race, his new music video had two trans women in it. They were the women in the video. Mm-hmm. I think really putting his money where his mouth is and really being a great advocate and ally for the community. And I think that what this is about is an exercise in transforming yourself into someone else to see what that does to you. And I think that as he's completed that exercise in a really unique and fun to watch way.
Yeah, he's definitely like the star of the group. But yeah, and did you and Chakra 7, Miss Tatiana, have some type of special connection? Because in that moment, right before y'all lip sync for the win, and you looked at each other, she said something to you, and it was it looked so genuine and sweet, and I was like, I feel like there's a
she
real
said,
connection
"Bitch,
there.
You better bring it," and I said, "It's already like, brought," and I said, "It's already been brought in."
Oh, that's not what it looked like. Oh, she said.
We take it back. We take it back.
I tell you what, though, if you guys did see the behind the scenes, Chakra Tatiana was my like best sister there. I really did feel like, well, first of all, I'm an absolute huge fan of her work on Fresh Prince. Ash was my favorite character, and I used to love to be like, just mind your business. I can
mind
like,
your business. That's all back up. Back
yeah,
up.
And I used to do that with her. I used to do that with her. I just really enjoyed her spirit. You know, she's mm-hmm. a lovely person, and also like I can make her laugh really hard. So I like
and
that
and that's
too.
The best. You can make everyone laugh really hard because you are very, very funny.
Well,
and
I would say like the bitchiest, shadiest things that I said were said into Tatiana's ear, who would like kind of blush bashfully, and she knew that I was right, but then like wouldn't say anything because she's too classy. Uh-huh. And I love that kind of person. I love the person that I'm like, you're a secret bitch. Like, uh-huh. you know, like
yeah.
And I'm gonna say everything to you because you're not gonna tell anyone. And she was like a great outlet for me. And we did have a lot of fun together behind the scenes. Like, I would like make a beeline for her, you know, whenever I could backstage to be next to her or whatever. So we did have a special connection there for sure. But I liked everybody really. I mean, I could be like give you the pageant answer, but I definitely felt the pressure from Mark and from Thirsty mm-hmm. and Millie Von Sunshine and Chick LaFay, because God, you're Glee kids. Like, come yeah, on.
Right.
Like, you, come on. First of all, I'm like, episode three, I'm like, is this Dancing with the Drags? Like, what's going yes. on? Like, when do I get to be funny? Like, when are we doing Snatch Game? When do I sew? When do I get an acting challenge? When am I in a Rusical? Like, I was right. so frustrated that it was just like lip syncing and dancing, because had I known that, I think I would have trained my mind differently. And also I felt like any day it could change. But as we got the challenges, they weren't, it wasn't changing. I'm like, is this what the show is? Because it wasn't what season one was. So I was yeah. a little bit in confusion there. And then when I'm like, holy, like I'm on a dancing competition with a Backstreet Boy, two people from Glee, like, and Tatiana's been a pop star since she's young, yeah. You know, and I'm just like, this is so unfair. And I'm just like, and I'm just like Jake from State Farm. Like, I'm like, what's like, I didn't like, I was like, I mean, I'm a showman, but I don't have that kind of seasoning and training that they have in that arena. And
so, but you brought it.
You know what you had? You got star power.
You do.
Like, thank I'm you. Telling you, Donna, because, you know, we know you. And like, so as soon as you started talking, we realized it was you.
Well, you know like, how confident I am in my own skin. Like, you guys know, we've been by the yeah. pool together. I don't give a
charisma, crap. Uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Like, I'll be laying, you have.
I'll be laying, like, putting some baby oil on my belly by the pool and not even care. But
yes, own a baby.
But what was weird was all of a sudden being like the fat girl. Like, that was like weird, you know, when I'm like, wait a minute, they know, like, for me as a man, I know how to navigate my body. I know what my silhouettes are. I okay. know, I know how to make myself look good or carry myself. And it took a long, long time to cultivate that. But now I'm a woman and I'm sitting there and I'm a really large woman, like tall, big, next to someone like Thirsty, who's walking in literally looking like Ariana Grande. And I'm like, this is like a whole new feeling, you know? I mean, that whole thing of like, you know, passable or unpassable, and if you know, whatever this is that, and oh, you have a brick face and you have this, and kind of like, you know, it was a new kind of vulnerability for me, you know, to sort of try to figure out how to find my own beauty and my own essence and sass in a different gender. No, I mean, it was actually like a really not lost on me in the queer experience as a whole, actually, too. You know, thinking about all of that stuff, which is why playing for Trevor Project, I felt like this is everything I'm going through right now is what our siblings go through, you know, in a lot of these kind of challenges. And I tried to, you know, do things to make people visible. I mean, I tried to use every genre of music. Like I did country, mm-hmm. I did Rosemary Clooney, I did rap, I did, you know, hip hop. I tried to do something different every time. And also, like, I thought using Kim Petras, I was showcasing a trans artist. And like, yeah. You know, who hadn't been on Drag Race yet, who should totally be on Drag Race, you know, as a song. So I was like trying to find ways within my storytelling and my creativity on the show to just highlight our community even more.
Well, the minute she revealed, I mean, we knew you were going to be good, but I'm just going to tell you this. And I even screamed it to Jonathan. I was like, she's beautiful. Like, you literally, Donna's beautiful. And I hope you realize that and know you definitely inspired a whole group of people to see themselves as beautiful as well, because she's freaking stunning, Danny.
I really appreciate that. I never thought that I mean, I feel like a good looking guy, but I feel like a beautiful woman is like, I never thought I'd even like,
it's a whole new world.
Weird ass thing. It's a weird ass world.
And you are. And I mean, on a
side
note,
I got a message from a fan that just said, just know you have two little chubby girls in little heels really rooting you on.
Like, exactly.
And that, I wasn't able to respond because that was weird too. Mm-hmm. Not, I'm always responsive to my fans, and to have to keep quiet while people are like talking to me on social media.
What are you talking about? I don't know anything.
All I did was send the blonde emoji, like the dunno, like the good blonde dunno girl.
I don't know.
But Danny, if
I'm
out
just
of this
innocent lady.
if out of this experience all you got was that message right there, wouldn't that have just made it worth it?
All I know is yes, it would. And I hope that Jonathan, at some point you get to do this. Like, okay, I really do.
We got to send this one to dance camp first. Like, you know me, like, if my baby's going to go do it, now the showman in me is going to come out. We got to crack the whip first, baby. We got to get
you. But here's the thing, like you're saying, like you have like a Backstreet Boy competing against you in a dance challenge. It was like when I was on Dancing with the Stars where I didn't do so well, but I also was going against Alfonso, who is literally the tap dance kid from Broadway. I'm like, oh, he played the tap dance kid in the show. The tap dance kid.
He's such a good dancer that they literally wrote a dance number into every role he's
course.
Ever had.
Yeah, of course. So I get it.
He's
but we're so
Michael Jackson on Silver Spoons.
Yes.
I forgot about that. He did. Yeah,
he did. Oh my gosh. Okay. We want to do something real quick. We have to do a lot of things. We have to do gay history.
We got gay history.
Let's do gay. Do we have a gay history?
We got gay history.
Let's do it. So, Danny, what we do on each episode is before we move forward as the queer community, we always got to make sure we remember where we came from. So we like to highlight things that happened this week in gay history to remind us on just how far we've come. James, what's happening in gay history this week?
Okay, well, let's take it into 2011. In 2011... All right, so for the kids that don't know, there used to be this thing in the military where, like, you couldn't be gay. They wouldn't let gay people serve in the military. So they decided they're going to have this policy of don't ask, don't tell. So basically just pretend to not be who you are and you can serve in the military. You can make the ultimate sacrifice for your country, but you can't be who you are. No. Well, in 2011, finally, it was repealed. It had been in effect since 1993. So 2011, this week, the military's don't ask, don't tell policy was officially repealed and taken back because, as we all know, that's incredibly wrong to ask somebody who is giving the most amazing sacrifice for their country to not be able to be themselves. So there's some progress for you.
And that's what happened this week in gay history.
Can I also just say?
Yes.
Because I had a runner up for this week in gay history.
Yes.
Did you know also this week in 1998? Do you know what show premiered that was the first program to feature openly gay lead characters?
No.
Anybody?
Danny?
1998. Primetime show, openly gay lead characters.
Will and Grace?
Yes.
Really?
Will and Grace.
Oh my gosh.
Which did a lot of good for a lot of us, our generation. That did a lot of good for us. So we got to give some claps to them too for bringing that out.
Incidentally, when you guys talking about that, I played a National Guardsman in the movie War of the Worlds, the Spielberg movie. It's it's a little small part, but it's one of those parts where like you work a couple of weeks, but then you're in it 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But the soldier that was in charge of making sure all the soldiers look good was a soldier who came out as gay, and it was during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and they ended up moving him to Hollywood to work as like a liaison for the army instead of letting him stay like employed. It was kind of interesting. And he told me the whole story about how, like, when he came out, he had to find another way to, you know, work. And then that was like a way that he was able to do something, his work in Hollywood.
Oh, and that's progress. And look where we are now. So yeah. things do evolve. Things do grow.
As long as we keep fighting and making noise.
And you know who fights and makes noise? People that we shine our big gay spotlight on.
Ooh, you want to do it?
Yeah.
Good transition, baby. The way my baby's face just lit up just now.
When I have a good transition, Danny, it makes me so happy. Because we want to shine our big gay spotlight on someone in the LGBTQ plus community that's doing extraordinary things to make the world better for our community, or just for small groups of people, whoever they're working for. So what is it this week, babe?
Well, you know, I had one prepared.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always, like, I try to, like, if we don't have to do a celebrity, I try not to because I want to shine it on people. But this conversation with Danny has made me realize.
Uh-oh.
Because.
Uh-oh.
There are so many times, and those of us, like, really deep in the Drag Race fandom know, there's a lot of girls that do a lot of things that never get the credit for stuff. And I didn't even know until just now in this interview who was making Donna so beautiful. I was just wondering, like, who's the behind the scenes? I don't know. So this week, I'm going to shine my big gay spotlight on Mayhem Miller for being the unsung hero of RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race and making Donna Bellissima so daggone Bellissima.
Well deserved.
Mayhem,
well,
that's
deserved.
Beautiful. You definitely deserve this spotlight. That's, I mean, we know that you are obviously
the queen of the party and turns the party.
Yeah, yes. Everything drag.
You are.
She can also turn a mug out. She can also turn a mug out.
She sure. Yeah, she's one of those queens that you can get up close, and she still looks absolutely stunning.
Ugh.
I mean, she's coming around at brunch in broad daylight, 12 noon overhead light. She still looks stunning. How? You know, that's the secret of Mayhem Miller.
Danny, this is Pridecast, and we want to ask you, what does pride mean to you?
I think pride is the opposite of hide.
Ooh, oh! Put that on a shirt too. Hey,
I'll pay for the t-shirts to be printed for DragCon for you to sell those, because that's going on a t-shirt. Let's go. That's my gift. Let's make it. Oh my gosh, I love that. So simple and so beautiful. And I have someone that has known you for 18 years. This conversation has been one of my favorites, because I think who you are sitting here after going through this experience, I see a Danny that Danny's always been fearless, but I'm so excited for the world to experience this Danny, because if he's always been fearless, now he's unstoppable. So I want the world to look out, because Danny Francesi is coming for you, and you better watch yourself.
You better watch it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Danny. We love you so much.
Danny, thanks for bringing Donna into our lives.
Thank you for
Seriously,
Donna.
She's brought me so much joy.
Oh, I'm so happy. Listen, if you need more of me dressed like an Italian woman, please come see Italian Mom Loves You, October 3rd through the 23rd in Waterbury, Connecticut at the Seven Angels Theater. We are Broadway bound. We're trying to go all the way with this. So come see us. It's a great play, and it'll really bring you some laughs and some heartwarming tears.
Oh, thank you so much, Danny. We love you. Go see his show. Follow him on Instagram. What's up, Danny? Everyone that follows him, trust me, you'll be glad you did. That does it for this episode of Pridecast.
Listen,
we'll see you next
week. A bunch of y'all gonna message you. Why didn't you ask them all the Mean Girls questions? Why didn't you ask them? You had them both there and you didn't ask them. Because as much as it's a wonderful part of their lives that they own so much, there's so many other facets to my husband and to Danny. So please get to know those other facets.
And you
as well,
can call me anytime and ask me Mean Girls questions.
Because as you can see, Danny obviously has many, many, many skills out there. So go see him. The Italian Mom loves you. And we love you.
All right.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, Danny.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, everybody that's listening.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.